make of them. Psychologically primed for religion. The idea of psychological byproducts grows naturally out of the important and developing field of evolutionary psychology. Evolutionary psychologists suggest that, just as the eye is an evolved organ for seeing and the wing an evolved organ for flying, so the brain is a collection of organs, or modules, for dealing with a set of specialist data processing needs. There is a module for dealing with kinship, a module for dealing with reciprocal exchanges, a module for dealing with empathy, and so on. Religion can be seen as a byproduct of the misfiring of several of these modules, for example, the modules for forming theories of other minds, for forming coalitions, and for discriminating in favour of in-group members and against strangers. Any of these could serve as the human equivalent of the moth's celestial navigation, vulnerable to misfiring in the same kind of way as I suggested for childhood gullibility. The psychologist Paul Bloom, another advocate of the religion is a byproduct view, points out that children have a natural tendency towards a dualistic theory of mind. Religion, for him, is a byproduct of such instinctive dualism. We humans, he suggests, and especially children, are natural-born dualists.
A dualist acknowledges a fundamental distinction between matter and mind. A monist, by contrast, believes that mind is a manifestation of matter, material in a brain or perhaps a computer, and cannot exist apart from matter. A dualist believes the mind is some kind of disembodied spirit that inhabits the body and therefore conceivably could leave the body and exist somewhere else. Dualists readily interpret mental illness as possession by devils, those devils being spirits whose residence in the body is temporary such that they might be cast out. Dualists personify inanimate physical objects at the slightest opportunity, seeing spirits and demons even in waterfalls and clouds. F. Anstey's 1882 novel Vice Versa makes sense to a dualist, but strictly should be incomprehensible to a dyed-in-the-wool monist, like most scientists. Mr. Bultitude and his son mysteriously find that they have swapped bodies. The father, much to the son's glee, is obliged to go to school in the son's body, while the son, in the father's body, almost ruins the father's business through his immature decisions. A similar plotline was used by P.G. Wodehouse in Laughing Gas, where the Earl of Havershot and a child movie star go under the anaesthetic at the same moment in neighbouring dentist chairs and wake up in each other's bodies. Once again, the plot makes sense only to a dualist. There has to be something corresponding to Lord Havershot, which is no part of his body. Otherwise, how could he wake up in the body of a child actor?
I am not a dualist, but I am nevertheless easily capable of enjoying Vice Versa and Laughing Gas. Paul Bloom would say that is because, even though I have learned to be an intellectual monist, I am a human animal and therefore evolved as an instinctive dualist. The idea that there is a me perched somewhere behind my eyes and capable, at least in fiction, of migrating into somebody else's head is deeply ingrained in me and in every other human being, whatever our intellectual pretensions to monism. Bloom supports his contention with experimental evidence that children are even more likely to be dualists than adults are, especially extremely young children. This suggests that a tendency to dualism is built into the brain and, according to Bloom, provides a natural predisposition to embrace religious ideas.
Bloom also suggests that we are innately predisposed to be creationists. Natural selection makes no intuitive sense. Children are especially likely to assign purpose to everything, as the psychologist Deborah Kellerman tells us in her article, Are Children Intuitive Theists? Clouds are for raining. Pointy rocks are so that animals could scratch on them when they get itchy. The assignment of purpose to everything is called teleology. Children are native teleologists, and many never grow out of it. Native dualism and native teleology predispose us, given the right conditions, to religion, just as the moth's light compass reaction predisposed them to inadvertent suicide. Our innate dualism prepares us to believe in a soul which inhabits the body rather than being integrally part of the body. Such a disembodied spirit can easily be imagined to move on somewhere else after the death of the body. We can also easily imagine the existence of a deity as pure spirit, not an emergent property of complex matter,